Hebrews 5. I changed my mind. Shut up.
I told you that each one of you are in discipline or discipleship, which is the same thing. For the purposes of either or both being a high priest, priestess, being a priest or a Levite. There's no other reason that you're here. If you're a Levite, it means you have experienced the total failure of the world, and there's nothing in the world that you desire. Nothing. If you're a priest, that's why as a Levite, you're a servant to the servants. Your office is to be a servant to the lowest among us, or among the world. If you're a priest, your office is still to be a servant, but it takes some other kind of form. Now, I was in a training deal when I worked for the government that made basic training or Marine Corps training or anything look like Sunday school. It was really bad. I mean, really bad. And this is worse. And it's going to get worser. And that's a word from now on. Worser. You're not here for any other purpose. You're not on the face of the earth for any other purpose. You're here so that you might have dominion over all things except yourself. You're here to learn that when you don't have dominion over yourself, it's not a strange thing. You're here so that you can stop ever again having an idea or an opinion about anything. You're here so that you can view life as a series of mysterious or mystical parables, every aspect of life. You're here so that you learn not to take a stand on anything save the cross. The scriptures say that we are unto God, it says, thanks be unto God who always causes us to triumph in Christ. For we are unto God a sweet savor of the knowledge of Christ. Always. To the one we are a savor of death unto death, to the other a savor of life unto life, and who is sufficient for these things. How can you be a savor of the knowledge of Christ if you don't have the knowledge? Now, the knowledge isn't sitting around memorizing the Bible. The knowledge of Christ is a simple, exquisitely elegant statement that is true in every situation. It's finished. That's the knowledge of Christ, that we are a sweet savor of God unto God, in them that are saved and in them that perish. But you can't be a sweet savor if you do not yet know it's finished. You understand me? Otherwise, you yourself become a savor of death unto death, even though God, looking at you, sees it's completed. So, Because we know it's finished, then we can go boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Now, that's 4:16. You got it? Get a Bible, Jim. Now, I want you to notice something. We always talk about coming boldly unto the throne. You learn a lot about that if you've ever gone to a charismatic thing. Boldly unto the throne of God to get your goodies. It says that we may come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and grace to help in the time of need. Once you've seen that by one offering he has perfected forever them that are sanctified, you never go to the throne of grace for yourself. You only go to the throne of grace to find mercy and more grace to help someone else. That's a little thing that almost all preaching or preachments on this forget. Now, and the tie-in to it is chapter 5. For every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God. If you're taken from among men, you are ordained for men. It means you are their servant. Now, do you understand? I mean, it's so simple. You cannot be a servant until you know it's finished. Otherwise, you're running around trying to save your ass all the time. So simple. You're always running around trying to get something for you or trying to have your own little problem solved. God says that's finished. What last night was about. Happy or blessed is the man who does not condemn himself in the thing which he alloweth. So you walk through life knowing it's finished. You never condemn yourself in the thing which you approve because you've pushed the barriers. Now you can be taken from among men to be given back to men. You are out of the equation. You are out of the picture. Forever. Never again to be taken. Well, again, the way we say it, the cliche is never again to take yourself seriously. Do you have any idea how sickening it becomes to me? To continually, in spite of all of the years for some of you of preaching, you still take yourself seriously. You can still have a problem. Every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men. In things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. Now, what does he offer? The only acceptable offering is himself, because he contains the perfect offering. You know, believe it or not, we'll get into this a little bit later, but you can prove this mathematically, that you can never take thought for yourself. You can prove it by simple algebra or Pythagorean. That's how all this stuff started, because mathematics was a mystical thing allegedly developed by Pythagoras to explain the mysteries of the universe. Actually, he stole it from Abraham, but that's another story. Verse 2, who can have compassion on the ignorant. You know what we ought to study? We ought to study the 12 labors of the ignorant. Well, there's probably only 12 when the basic labors. We'll contrast them to the true labors. From God's standpoint, anyone who doesn't see it's finished in this passage is ignorant. In 2 Corinthians 5, he is crazy. He is schizo, manic, depressive, any other psychotic labels you want to attach to it. Psychotic, neurotic. I get tired of going into the snake pit every night. Who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way, for that he himself also is compassed or surrounded with infirmity. And by reason hereof, he ought, as for the people, so also for himself, to offer for sins. No man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. Now, that's not starting. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made a high priest, but he that said unto him, Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. And he saith also in another place, Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard, in that he feared. And though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And be made perfect, or the word, again, this the word, that word will always trip you up. Because perfect in English means something totally different than this word in Greek. It's teleos in the Greek. And it means someone that's fully tested for its purpose. Though he were a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all that obey him, called of God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Now some of you are saying, well, who is Melchizedek? Well, some of them, when they were reading this, they said it too. Paul said, of whom we have many things to say, and hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing. For the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. And it becomes such as have need of milk and not of strong drink. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Now the word good there is agapeo. Agape. Doesn't mean what you define as good. It means spirit, Christ. Evil is everything else. Another way of saying it is to discern soul from spirit. That's the only thing that you will end up, once hands are laid on you, they'll be laid on you to go out at the time that I see that you can discern soul from spirit. If you can discern soul from spirit, how do you discern spirit? Spirit says anything that defines that it is finished is spirit. Anything that defines that something else is required is soul or evil. Spirit is good. If you walk in the spirit, you shall not fulfill the desires of the flesh. It doesn't say you won't try to fulfill them. It says you won't fulfill them.
Is there a difference between flesh and soul?
Yeah, flesh is the container of the soul. And the soul is the container of the spirit. Flesh encapsulates the soul. Soul encapsulates the spirit. I don't know what you're talking about.
You know those Russian dolls?
Okay.
It's like bowling pins.
The soul we think of as self.
The soul is your, is the container, or the capsule that contains the things that you have perceived by your senses.
So it's true to say that it's self, it's the same thing.
It's your will, your emotions, your mind. All it your soul defines your you-ness. The spirit is the seed of Christ. Now, went off by itself.
What was that?
Pete's watch.
46.
That was Pete's watch. Do you, how many of you have studied algebra? A little bit. Okay.
About 30 years ago.
Okay, when you teach a child the use of names, you point to the object and say, at the same time, pronounce the name, right? So, light. So then the kid sees a glass container and says, light. But my point is, it has to be done with specificity, but you can't wait till the next day. You can't say, light. Or you can't point to the light and the next day say, light. Understand? That's a biggie.
What was the second thing you said about the next day? Why not the next day?
If I point to this pen.
Pencil.
If I point to this pencil and the next.
Oh! Good.
You won't be caught in the second.
Very good.
Right.
You might. Yeah, any.
Sharp as a pencil.
And the next day or an hour later I say, if I point to that and an hour later say, pencil,
the kid will say, huh?
The kid will say, say what? The pointing of it and the naming of it have to be at the same time frame. Otherwise the kid won't know what you're talking about. I mean, that's so obvious we miss it. So there has to be, you must integrate at the same time the thing named and the name that you've given it. Now, you got to try to remember when you're a little kid or watch the little kids. Because that's the only way you know anything is by the repetition of that process. Okay? No, now this is a hard one. Try to think a minute. No name or substitute stimulus can define itself. I mean,
what do you mean substitute stimulus?
Well, that's what a name is. A name is, remember we talked about that?
Yeah.
I'm not going to understand what I'm going to say next until you get this down. You're just a sort of a hunk of protoplasm, and you got these little vibrating things here that vibrate. They're called vocal cords or larynx or whatever they are. And so, and because when they move in the right way, it moves the air to make a sound. And you're just a little kid, and you don't know anything, and all of a sudden somebody's running around pointing glasses, globe, wall, light, leave. Nothing. It's impossible for a name, or this, which is the substitute of stimulus, to define itself. Now this is mind-blowingly important. There's no way that a name or the substitute stimulus could ever exist as its own definition without its association with the thing named.
It's like its identity isn't always have to be in that outside.
That's a biggie. Can you understand that? That's the fundamental of understanding vanity. Are you sure you understand?
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
You've asked me in the last part. Relationship between names and vanity.
What is that?
Okay. No name can be a substitute for the original stimulus. No name can name itself. Mm-hmm. You got to understand that.
It doesn't exist in that way.
Can you think of anything that names itself?
A bee.
Huh?
A bee.
A
bee? No, I'm just kidding.
A bee.
Oh, it's totally dependent on a combination of other things, right?
Totally dependent on association.
And it's totally dependent on this pretense that a group of people have agreed on.
Oh, okay.
Now, in algebra, remember, just see these little formulas of 2x plus y equals z.
Yeah.
Okay? In algebra, no letter can be its own value.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It has to stand for something else. Now, think of, I'm trying to get you back down to this thing of what soul and spirit and flesh and their function. In capsules, like capsules, you know, not in capsule, but the word capsule or enclosure. Yep. No capsule can enclose itself.
Mm-hmm. It's either enclosing something or being enclosed.
The reason that's a little tricky. You understand that if God defined you as a vessel, then you can't enclose yourself.
What do you mean by enclose? Okay.
Encapsule yourself.
Hold.
Oh.
You see where we're getting to?
Someone else.
Okay.
Like having a base and saying the base is.
The reason. the reason you think you are you, and the reason your problems become identified with you, is because you think the thing named is itself. The
God. There we go.
Yeah. It's a nonsense statement. X equals X.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can we take a break?
Need
a cigarette.
Yeah.
You're hurting
me. Yeah. Here's how he's passing on.
The reason that you believe that you have problems is the same reason that you believe this is a pencil.
Oh my God.
It's the pretense, and through repetition, you believe that the thing named is itself.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
In other words, you believe you're you.
You believe you're you. Do you understand? I mean, it's just so, you all agree, it means Paul said it over and over, that we are vessels. Huh? You've literalized you as the parable. You have committed the worst heresy possible from your perspective because you believe you're you.
Wow.
Oh,
boy.
You got it now.
Act like you get it.
Triple
bound
like it's all
well. Explain it to me later, but I think I have. I just want to know who you are.
No, you got to hear this, folks. You think this is funny, but
no,
it's massive.
It's funny once you see it.
Yeah, but then how can you have a problem?
Yeah. That's what's funny. I've been deceiving myself all these years.
The whole world lies in this deception, which originates in language. And it's so obvious, once you can pull yourself out of it, that it makes your whole life a laughingstock. Guys haven't seen it yet.
Yes.
No.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
No, I see it, but here's my problem. All my life I've heard things like, see this table, you think it's solid. It's not really solid. It's made of atoms. The atoms are vibrating. They have neutrons and protons. You can tell me that from now until hell freezes over. And I'll go, yeah, that's right, sure. But I don't believe it. Now what you just said, I know that's true. The problem I'm locked into is, I don't know what the word believe means. But I really do believe I'm me. And I know...
Oh, I didn't know that, Harry.
But it's like...
But you see what...
From this chair, it looks like a totally insurmountable, unbreachable wall.
Yeah, but can you see now why it's so ridiculous to take the invented self seriously? That's like an actor experiencing the emotions and the sufferings permanently of the person that he's playing.
Yeah, walking around as King Lear all the time.
Yeah.
Well, see, we
that
both.
Is the truth.
That's pretty good. That's what's really happening.
That's what we're doing. Yeah.
That's what the whole human race is doing.
Instead of I gotta be me, I gotta be...
I gotta be hurt.
No, but the whole of our language, the whole of our thought processes are these, all
yeah.
The language itself is the fires of Molech that we've been passed through.
Yeah.
When we do a good job at it, people all applaud.
But everyone knows that it's everyone, that's why we go through this, you know, generation gap stuff. Every one of you, when you were an adolescent, in that crossover point before you bought the lie, knew this. You knew that everything was nonsense. Then what happened to you? You thought you were the only one that thought this, and so you decided to opt for the lie. Are you starting to see why you will be, your very presence will fuck up a society? That's exactly what it means. A sign and a wonder.
I'm starting to see this.
What? What
did you say? For long, they'll put it
away.
I'm starting to see that brainwashing and conditioning and all those things are vain. Little examples of what happens to every human being.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, now maybe you can for the first time understand we are now in Hebrews 6:1. Do you know what the words Hebrew mean and the word Jew means?
Judah, the tribe of Judah. I don't know what Hebrew means.
Hebrew, the word Hebrew means from the other side, or in modern parlance it would mean from one step beyond, from the twilight zone. I'm serious.
No, that's great though.
The reason that we are spiritual Jews is because the tribe of Judah was all that was left, because the 10 northern tribes went apostate, became part of Babylon.
When did that, what happened to them? When did that happen?
721 BC.
I know, but...
What?
Okay, so...
The only two tribes...
Everybody left in Israel, that's from across the tribe of Judah, right?
The only two tribes left were the tribe of Benjamin and the tribe of Judah. And so all of what we call Jews are either of the tribe of Judah or the tribe of Benjamin. The tribe of Judah are the keepers of the bloodline, the keepers of the purity of the blood. The tribe of Benjamin were the keepers of the temple. That's all that's necessary.
Wow.
Now, there were a few scraggly Levites mixed in with Judah and the Jews. So
they weren't considered people.
They're of the tribe of Levi, and they were the servants. All the rich Levites.
Rich Levites?
The rich Levites stayed in Babylon.
You don't think that on the rest. No, be glad that none ever was.
All the rich members of the tribe of Judah stayed in Babylon. All the rich members of the tribe of Benjamin stayed in Babylon. It was only the poor and the hungry and the widows and the orphans from the tribes of Judah and Benjamin and Levi that returned after the diaspora. The poor, the naked, the hungry, the failures, the halt, the blind. Chapter 6. Therefore, leaving. We're going on a journey right now, right? Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, of the laying on of hands, and of the resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this we will do, if God permit. Now that's kind of an exciting thing. We're going to go on a journey. As always in the scriptures, in the parable of Sodom and Gomorrah, when Lot's wife turned back longingly, turned to a pillar of salt, when Christ said, once you were his disciple, no man putting his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom. It's always and ever in this process. There's a humongous thing immediately behind you. It's called the fear of God.
So I can see this wall, like the wall of water just coming towards you and you're just going,
No. There are things, because of what you have understood and heard the last few nights, that you can never again return to because of the fear of God. And this is what this next section is about. And this we will do if God permit, for it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. You understand me? Or do you understand what that says? You can't walk like you've walked anymore.
You're saying this is the point of no return?
Now, there's a temptation, massive temptation, in the East. These things, or these stages of enlightenment, are called chakras, and there are seven chakras that are typified in the body. You have, and tonight, in this understanding, you have reached the fifth chakra. And that's the power point. That's the place in which the Spear of Christ, the Spear of Destiny, went inside Christ. Now, almost all the fakirs in India that go around and do the tricks of laying on beds of nails and all of that, they were all ones who had reached a particular point by self-discipline. They'll never make it, but by self-discipline, they can only get to seven. We're looking at eight. They can only know about the seven. We automatically enter at the eighth, the resurrection. But this point, you can imagine what you could do with manipulating people with this understanding, with manipulating language, with the power to use people. Well, that's what this is talking about. You can't turn that way. Understand? No. Whether or not you believe the legends or not, as you all know, I went to Europe last year and witnessed or saw or stood in front of this sword of Longines, where it was the spear that allegedly, which I'm sure it did, is the one that they stuck into the side of Christ. That spear, every army from that time forward that had that spear won in history. This isn't something made up. In a very real sense, by what you have heard these last few days, you now possess that spirit. Now, you can take it and try to use it, as Charlemagne did, as Hitler did, as on and on and on and on. Or you can empty yourself at every moment and fulfill the office of high priest. But you can no longer, either way, you cannot with impunity take thought for yourself.
Because now we, in fact, have the power.
Understand a little bit?
What does impunity mean?
Huh?
Exoneration.
Now all this is so that language no longer, the alphabet language no longer has dominion over you. Now you can put away the gods of your father. Now, let's talk some more about names. Remember, the last thing we talked about in this arena was that what a belief or an opinion is. Remember, it's an association of names that are tied together by language, which under limited, appropriate circumstances, you've been convinced to follow. Even though now there's overwhelming evidence that those opinions and those ideas and beliefs are wrong. Now, when you continue to follow a belief system that you know is wrong, you are called a bigot. From now on, the evidence that you of your bigotry is whenever you take yourself seriously. For any reason. You understand that? The evidence of your bigotry, that you've chosen to believe what you know is a lie, is that you think you can have a problem.
You
understand me? Now there's a thousand other implications to this. It's also the evidence of your bigotry when you think someone else has a problem that you are not empowered to deal with. So another evidence of your bigotry is when you defer to an expert.
Go talk to Ollie.
Now, the reason that name
We live by all of your sensory perception at any moment. The now, now is the accepted time, now is the day of salvation. We live only in a three-dimensional world. The dimensions are height, width, and depth. All that, but we obviously see things, some repetition or some slight variance on the repetition. In the spirit, that's simply another look, a slightly different view of the parable, which was to reveal Christ. But when you name the names and worship the names, you totally and completely misuse time, because by you have changed the three-dimensional world into four dimensions. You have bound time, and so therefore it's another evidence that you are trying to be God, because you have bound time.
Yeah.
And so rather than seeing the parable as this thing that takes place, because there's an obvious thing that takes place, I mean, this instant is a picture, the next instant is a different picture.
Right.
But it's all a parable.
Like when you have something of revelation and all of a sudden you have to sit there and go, okay, this is what it was, this is it, and then you describe it for yourself so you can keep it.
Okay.
You trap time, you trap it instead of seeing it.
But the problem is, it's a little bit different than that. I mean, Jesus was not kidding when he said, take no thought for tomorrow. If you take thought for tomorrow, then you have literalized the parable of time. If you, rather than that, as the small child, view each moment as the now is the accepted time, now is the day of salvation, now is the picture of Jesus that I can see with perfect clarity, no matter what my sensory perception tells me, then you have redeemed the time. If you take thought for tomorrow, then you're giving breath to the God of this world. You are worshiping Satan by giving thought for tomorrow. You have, by the use of names, by the use of language, you as an entity have brought under, it's an illusion, but it's a good, you know, you've brought into this three-dimensional world, the fourth dimension, and you've taken dominion over it, over time, as opposed to seeing it as a parable. And it's not dominion, it's just phony dominion. It's this phony little sorcery that's going on in your mind. You got it?
I think so. This now is a parable. And because we're in this thing called time, we know that there's going to be another picture of the parable coming along.
And both pictures are equal.
Right. But rather than just being here now and seeing what the parable shows, I exercise myself in a concern that parable that's going to come along won't reveal it, and I've got to do something with it.
Well, worse than that, you don't even think it's a parable. You just think it's something that protects the pretentiousness of the first place.
And the truth is that parable that comes along will reveal exactly the same thing, because there is only one thing to do.
That's right.
And it's stupid.
It's ignorant.
Stop.
Why are the first three dimensions any different? I mean, you're trying to control those two.
Well, they're now different in terms of if you look at anything that God has made. Primarily, everything that God has made are squiggly little lines. I mean, there's no sharp corners. I mean, there's no parallelism.
Well,
it's It's mountain ranges are all jagged and trees are all screwy and lawns. They're irregular. And that irregularity creates a symmetry that can't be defined as symmetry. Anything that man does has straight lines. He tries to have dominion over the three dimensions.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's also an illusion. That's why synagogues are the definition, original definition of church. They couldn't meet anywhere except in an open field. You understand?
Yeah.
But time is the evil, most evil one, because it is the most evil of the dimensions. Redeem the time, for the days are evil.
Oh, that's right. Time's perfect. That makes more sense.
Now, the Psalms...
The day, singular, isn't it? But the day's plural.
Okay. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth his handiwork. The glory of God is Christ. The handiwork of God is Christ. Day unto day uttereth speech. True speech. It utters the word, if you have eyes to see.
Yeah.
Night unto night showeth knowledge. The star maps show the parable over and over and over. Christ in you, the hope of glory. The trees show it. The grass shows it. Anything except what man has built reveals the parable. There's nothing about this house in terms of its little box thing and crap that reveals the parable.
The
trees, or the seed falling into the ground, or the birds flying. Now, everything that is of the vegetable kingdom, per se, everything in the vegetable, there's animal, mineral, and vegetable, right? We use those names to define classes. Everything in the vegetable kingdom reveals a spiritual condition, i.e., all the parables of Christ are about vegetables or about seeds, because it, by the senses, something comes out of nothing. Now, that's pretty heavy. All things that man considers and uses as energy are rotten spirit. In other words, what we think of petroleum and oil comes from forests and spirit typology, crushed, rotted, everything. That now it comes out as oil. That's petroleum, and we have oil stuff. All of the what produces alcohol, which is different than petroleum, is rotting wheat or rotting spirit. Now, okay, well, what about rocks, animal? I mean, what about mineral? Well, all this, the energy that man receives from mineral is also rotting mineral, the decay of the mineral. That's all it... fusion and fission is. It's the decay of the mineral. That's all the energy from the sun is. It's the decay of, it's fusion, but it's in theory, in spirit, it is the decay of the mineral. It produces energy. The decay of the spiritual type produces energy. So we then force the human race, because of they totally missed the parable, in the misuse of energy. And the misuse of energy is what has caused the pollution, the acid rain, the ozone, all of the carbon-related burning, that activity that takes place, is destroying the air, or the spirit. Now, What is the animal? The animal function is everything that the animal thinks of as waste is the food for the spirit. The plant, the vegetable. The animal, he breathes in oxygen, which is the waste product of the spirit, and he breathes out carbon dioxide, which is the food of the decay, or the excrement from the animal is the food of the spirit. The decay and death of the body of sin and death, hallelujah, is the feeding of the spirit. That's why the soul cries and longs for what it has lost. The spirit rejoices for what it has found. But all things reveal this parable. And if, but we've named names and worshiped the names, therefore our eyes are blinded. We can't see the parable. Mike? You agree? Do you understand?
Not really.
What don't you understand or don't agree?
I don't understand. I think I'm your analogy. I'm not getting your analogy.
When you look at the parables of Christ, they're mostly about plants. They are the type of the spirit world. And the reason they are is because there's apparently something that grows out of nothing. I mean, I've done this thing, silly thing where you take a plant, planter, and put this little twig in it, and pretty soon this monster thing comes out of it. But the planter contains the same amount of, where in the hell did it come from? You know, all you've done is put water in it. Now, whether or not that's true by scientific weight, that's the appearance of it. It's something coming out of nothing. You know, that big magnolia tree didn't take up all of the ground that was around it and create a big cavern so that the volume of the magnolia tree is came out. It came from a seed. Where'd it come from? From our senses, it looks like it comes from nothing. Its food is our animal's waste product. The animal, son of man, dies, has waste, has confession, has garbage, has all this stuff. That is the food of the Son of God, the Spirit. Okay? Now, therefore, now every time, every place you look, you can, anything man has done, whether it's, whether it's planting cement all over grass, or building little boxes to live in, or anything that you can look at that man has done, you can see it's an enemy of revelation. I can show that to you in any way, anything. Anything that has a plant component or a vegetable component, not little vegetables, but you know, is a revelation of spirit. Anything that is animal is a revelation of that which is decaying or son of man. For the outer man perish, but the inner man is renewed day by day. But again, it's because you have named names like oil and and everything. You mean that you it prevents you from seeing the parable?
Yeah, I'm finally starting to see that the name is a wall. You don't go beyond the name. Once you've got the name, that's it. Hey, I don't even know anymore about that.
What you're saying is that the man is always destroying the spirit.
Right.
In any type.
It's
always
the enemy. It's pretty heavy stuff, folks. Mm-hmm. What?
I want a tape on this one.
Eric. Eric's
okay.
Finger.
Eric's finger.
Don't place orders before Bible study's over.
Yeah.
Okay, let's change direction a little bit, see if we can see if there's some other implications. No, it's not. Maybe that's enough for you to think of.
Yeah.
We've gone through your brain.
Now, we haven't. We didn't get to my brain fry yet.
Hi, you're reserving that for Sunday night?
Negative ionization.
The water's clean by falling.
Now, somebody tell me a problem. Seek ye first.
What does it mean?
This is what it means. I'm serious. Now you can put away the gods of your fathers because they were all dependent on the naming of names. Now you can divorce the God of your father, the gods of your father, because now you are married to another. The reason that a woman takes the man's name in the parable of marriage is because she's no longer, it's the same reason we now have a new name, because we are now the bride, but we don't have the name yet because it's unutterable. But just as in the right kind of marriage, the bride has absolutely nothing to do. Her sustenance is perfectly taken care of by the husband. There's no thing that she has to do. Her only job is to push the barriers, to be spirited, remember? And as I said, with regard to stimuli, God originates the stimuli, but he also checks it. He opens the doors, but he also closes them. You don't have to worry about making a mistake. The only reason you think you're moral anyway is because you've named names and defined your own morality within a very limited frame of reference. But can you see how by your manipulation of names, you have risen above the cloud, risen above God himself? You've created your own universe, and you sit around and manipulate that universe just like Tom does with Dungeons and Dragons. At least he's honest about it. I keep telling him, put Christ into the game. He won't do it. Because Christ, and he died instantly.
Oh.
He told me a story about some little aliens that were begging for mercy and blew away, and it really freaked him out.
Well, he's becoming very, But please, 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 you don't have, first of all, your name isn't you. How can the Son of God have problems? How can the one who created all these things have problems? The only thing that can happen is you learn obedience, you learn to hear under, you learn to hear this, hear, no matter what the circumstances. That's obedience. Hear under.
I don't know, I feel like we're the chosen ones.
You got it right.
But the other people were.
You've always thought the others were the chosen.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
That's why it says, fret not yourself because of the evildoer who prospers in his way. And what you have is so far greater than anyone could even dream of having that it isn't even worthy of comparison. And you've gotten it freely.
And he had to do is put up with me.
It's hardly free.
That was my thought. My, with a high price to pay.
Everything does have its price after that.
Where did you get the idea that our ancestors got us to this point?
You mean the genetic pyramid?
Yeah. Where's that coming
from? For me, I don't know where it comes from.
Common sense, actually.
I don't ever have. I mean, you have to. That's where you have to. I don't ever have. I don't have anything that. No, I don't do that. I don't think.
This thing about having a name and believing, you know, carrying that, thinking that's it. When you're talking about, they kept thinking about dogs. You know, when you get a dog, you raise a dog, you teach it its name, and it gets
very, very similar.
A response. And I'm saying it's the same thing. And then I thought. Can you imagine walking out into the woods and trying to get an adult male timber wolf to believe his name is Fred?
This is my turn, Brian.
He would not jump when you said jump, Fred.
Again, remember from the Song of Solomon that the bride is compared to the horses in Pharaoh's chariots. The reason is because they're at home in any environment. They're equally at home in the wilderness to the palaces of Egypt. They are spirited. There's no meek, as the word in English means. They are spirited beasts that push the barriers at all times. They are, yet they're in the position of what the true word of meekness is they respond instantly to the pull of the spirit or the wind. And that's what the bride of Christ is. They're not a bunch of little stupid wimps. They're the ones that have pushed the barrier, know all things, understand all mysteries. Nothing causes them the slightest. Nothing can turn in the slightest except the wind, the Spirit of God.
Now I see why, you know,
there's a lot of wars and a lot of things, because that's going to be the end. The man has to come to his end, whatever it is, and that's part of the process.
Yeah. Is he going to waste away in AIDS, or he'll blow himself up? Uh-huh. Same thing. Anybody have anything else? Take a big guy.